The love is the main thing. The love is the main thing. If the love is there, then Gornatai will be happy. This pastime is such a nice one. Sarvasashtabdi Piyusha Sarvavere Kasatvalam Sarvasadantaratnadya Sarvaloke Kadrika Pradab Sarva Bhagavata Prana Shimada Bhagavatam Prabhu Kalitvantora Daditya Sri Krishna Parivartata Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostate Madekabando Madsangin Madgurur Madmahadhanam Madnustadakam Madbhagya Madananda Namostate Asadu Sarudhadayan Ati Nitsuchatardaka Ha Namunchakadachin Mam Primna Hrutkantayaspura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Well, new chapter, a new day, a new chapter. Sri Shuku Vacha Egada Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jata Kotuka Anobir Anadud Yuktai Raya Yuste Ambikavanam Sri Shuku Vacha Egada Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jata Kotukaha Anobir Anadud Yaktai Raya Yuste Ambikavanam Hari Sri Shuka Uvacha Egada Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jata Kotukaha Anobira Anadura Yuktai Praya Yuste Ambikavanam Synonyms Sri Shuka Uvacha
Sri
Shukadev
Goswami said
Egada
once
Deva
to worship
the demigod Lord Shiva
Yatrayam
on a trip
Gopala
the cowherd men
Jata Kotukaha
eager
Anobhi
with wagons
Anadut
to oxen
Yuktai
yoked
Prayayu
went forth
Te
they
Ambikavanam
to the Ambika forest Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They're glorious. Shukadev Goswami said, one day the cowherd men, eager to take a trip to worship Lord Shiva, traveled by bullock carts to the Ambika forest. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Ekada here indicates the occasion of Shiva Ratri. He further mentions that Ambikavan is in Gujarat province, near the city of Siddhapur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that the departure of the cowherd men specifically took place on the 14th lunar day of the dark fortnight of the month of Phalgun. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also quotes authorities who claim that Ambikavan lies on the bank of the Saraswati River, northwest of Mathura. Ambikavan is notable because within it are deities of Sri Shiva and his wife, Goddess Uma. Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Jyotipada Kamalang, Sri Guru Navaishnavams Cha, Sri Rupa Masagra Jatham, Sahagana Raghunatham, Vatham Tham Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakan Vatham Cha. Sangasara Tukka Jaladao Paditasya Kama Krodadi Nakrama Kodaika Padikurtasya Durvashana Nikaditasya Nirashrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamatehe Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavesha Kishoro Sahachara Ganavrindai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabara Chattavesho Nilapitam Varadyo Jagadajaranehe Tu Rama Krishna Natosmi Vanchakopa Durubis Chakrapa Sundhya Ivacha Paritano Pavani Bhyo Vishnavi Bhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada mentions that Ambikavana is in Gujarat. Near the city of Siddhapur. Siddhapur is a famous place, an agricultural place in Gujarat. What comes to my foolish mind, Siddhapur is a place where they manufacture isabgal, which devotees use to help their system regularly. City of Siddhapur. And it's famous. It's distributed all over India. Siddhapur, Sadhusabgo. And it's famous. So, if it's near where Lord Shiva is, well then that is auspicious. And Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad used to love to do his bhajan near Shiva. And his place of Chakaleshwar is noteworthy. He also, in Mathura, in Gokul, there was also a Shiva sthanam, where he did his bhajan. He had actually a gufa, kind of a cave that went down into the ground, but it was nearby Lord Shiva. Indeed, wherever he was, he worshipped. He worshipped, he chanted and did his bhajan near Lord Shiva. He liked him, evidently. Mahaprabhu also went to see Srikalahasti, which is nearby Tirupati. And Bhuvanesha Ambulinga Kopatirapati. These are all areas that Mahaprabhu visited after he took sannyas and left Navadvip and went toward Puri. So Mahaprabhu was very happy to visit Shivalayas and dance because he knows that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. Indeed, in Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, we find the Shivastikam, which is purportedly uttered from the mouth of Mahaprabhu. And it really appears so, because shlokas number 6, 7, and 8 are wonderfully describing how Shiva Bhagavan is absorbed in chanting the holy name of Govinda. And he sings and plays and is dum-ru-dum and chants the holy name with great bhava and transports the devotees around him in ecstasy. So when you look at that, 3, 6, 7, and 8, and about how Lord Shiva is attached to the holy name of the Lord, therefore, it is not surprising how many Vaishnavas offer him regard. Indeed, in Sridham Mayapur, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu there, Dhameshwar Mahadev there. It is when Kshatrapal Shiva, he protects the Dhamma. And also there are many Hariharara Kshatra in Mayapur. In many Dhammas, the Lord is manifested. In Vrindavan, Bhuteshwar, Kameshwar, Chakaleshwar, Kundeshwar, Nandeshwar, and Gopeshwar, the famous. And we've also got Bankhandi Maheshwar is there, and then also on the bank of Jamunaji there is there is one Lord. Munjateshwar. Munja means the forest. Munjateshwar, the Lord of the forest. Anyway, I asked the pujaris there behind the Jamunaji Mandir, and I asked them, how long has Munjateshwar been worshipped here with Jamunaji? And he said, oh, they've both been worshipped here only for about 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, you know. The deities are not too old, you know. So, but many, that doesn't stop devotees. That doesn't stop devotees from coming and serving him, pouring charanamritam to him, talking to him, offering him some deepam, offering him some offering, you know, and making some requests. Asutosha is very, very kind to devotees, specifically devotees of Lord Krishna, who ask him for, they have no material thing to beg from him, but to beg him for bhajan, for success in bhajan, worshipping of Lord Krishna. And indeed, I have to tell you quite frankly, it does work. It does work. When you pour some charanamrita, he specifically loves charanamrita from the deities. That was the whole thing when he stayed, Asheshwarvan, when he was staying in Nandagaon, in Asheshwarvan, one forest outside. He had very great desire to see Nandalala, and he went to see him. So when he climbed the stairs and went toward Nandagaon, and he knocked on the door, Mother Jasoda was afraid of this Yogi Baba, you know, completely covered with ashes and bichu and samp and all these things. She closed the door, and she closed the door, slammed the door on him. And Kanaya Lala started to cry. Oh, this is no fun, you know. And the gopis didn't understand. Mother Jasoda didn't understand. Why is my Lala crying so heavily? And he's not stopping. You know, he's not stopping. And he kept crying and he kept crying. One of Mother Jasoda's friends was very wise and said, did somebody come to see your Lala? Was anybody driven off? Was anybody not giving any proper reception? Perhaps your Lala has been disturbed by that, that somebody has not been offered any reception. Ah, there was some Yogi Baba, he came to see my Lala, I gave him some rotis and he went away. Now, what do they want? They just want some rotis, you know, right? You know? I gave him something, you know, here, get out of here. Boop, you know, because I was just scared to see him. No. Where is that Yogi? We should find him. So Mother Jasoda's friends implored her to go find this Yogi. So they went there, they searched all around Nandeshwar area, and they found him in Asheshwarvan, and he was doing meditation there, and he said, Chalo Yogi Baba, Nanda Bhavan Me. He said, Nandarani Aapko Bulare, like that, something like this. Anyway, he went there. And so they brought him there. And as soon as Nandalal saw this sadhu, you know, unruly looking tapasvi sadhu, then he laughed and became very happy. Then the sadhu said, I would be very happy if you take the feet of your Lala and put it on my head. Mother Jasoda became frightened and she said, Nahi, 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 Nahi. But all of Yasoda's friends went, Ha, 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 Ha. Yasoda went, Nahi, 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 Nahi. She was scared. And her friend said, Ha, 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 Ha. So the Ha's were more, you know. And evidently Mother Jasoda, I don't know, maybe her friends, you know, her elderly friends, you know, I don't know, twisted her arm a bit, I don't know. Anyway, with great trepidation, she took Krishna's lotus foot and touched it momentarily to the head of this Baba. You know, because he had dreadlocks, matted locks, and he's got bhasma all over himself, and he's got, you know, makari, you know, scorpions or something on his body, and he's got bichu, makari bichu, and he's got spiders, and he's got bichu. I just mentioned them. Scorpions, right? And then you got the snake. The snake represents sankarshan, actually. The snake that's on his body is an anga of sankarshana, because the Supreme Lord Sankarshana is the Lord of Shiva. Shiva gets his energy when he manifests himself within this material world. He does so through the conduit of Chaptakalam Shushukshaya, as Brahma Samhita mentions, by the Supreme Lord casting his glance on the unmanifested, inactive material energy. That glance is Shambhu. That glance is Shambhu, Brahma Samhita mentions. So Lord Shiva is that personification of the manifestation of the glance of Mahavishnu. And it takes that form. It is an expansion of the Lord. And it goes, that glance evidently goes through, it is the potency. Although Mahavishnu lies down on the Karana Shai Sagar, in the Karana Ocean, Karana Dakshai Ocean, and glances on the Pradhan, the unmanifested material energy, inactive material energy, and that glance is Lord Shiva. Somehow or other, Sankarsana comes into play. The energy either goes through the Sankarsana of Shakti of the Supreme Lord. However, somehow or other, Sankarsana is the preferred Lord of Shiva. Shiva, Sankarsana, Ananta, is described to be part of the destructive potency of this material energy. Actually, he is the maintainer. He holds by his hoods all the universes. This potency of manifestation of the material world and maintenance of the spiritual world is all done under his energy. Krishna is delegated into him. The creation, manifestation, and annihilation of the material worlds, as well as the manifestation, eternal manifestation of the spiritual worlds, is all done through the potency of Sankarsana, Dauji, Krishna's plenary potent, primal plenary expansion. So it's mentioned in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam that when it is time for the pralaya, a partial or substantial pralaya, then Ananta Deva, who is situated in the lower regions of the Garbhadak ocean area, is invoked somehow or other. When I actually don't know how the play works together. Lord Shiva is engaged in Tandava, Nritya, his dancing, and somehow or another the mind of Ananta Deva becomes agitated, something other. Something is done to provoke him. Fire comes from his mouth, and the fire emanating from the mouth of Ananta Deva is what is so powerful to burn up the universes. So, for this manifestation, Sankarsana is meditated on by Shambhu in Kailash. It is his Lord. And therefore, the Samp, the snake that is surrounding the neck of Lord Shiva, are representations and manifestations of Sankarsana. The idea of it is that Shiva Bhagavan is absorbed in the bhava of his master, Sankarsana, and is avratap, is covered with Sankarsana. He's covered, literally. And therefore, it is not surprising that the snakes like him. Now, not all snakes are bad. Snakes are also manifestations of this energy. Snakes are generally envious, and many of them are cruel, but some of them are quite mellow. Some of them are not mellow. There was a story in this Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji Charitra, where he was going on a boat in Bangladesh, and boats, they go everywhere. You know, the rivers are everywhere in Bangladesh. Many ways of transport are by river boat. So he was going there. And he was traveling somewhere in Bangladesh on a boat, and he told the boatman, just up ahead, next to such and such village, there is a spot, and there is a snake right there. Let us out there, you know? So, you know, who knows that there's a snake there? You know what I mean? There's snakes everywhere, but God knows that there's a specific snake. The boatman did what he was saying, you know? I mean, the boatman did what he was told. He rowed the boat to the specific spot, and he got out, you know? And then he got out of the boat there, and then he saw, Bhaktisiddhanta took his Gopal deity in his hand, and goes, look, Gopal, Ananda Deva has come. You know? Ananda Deva has come. They saw some snake, some particular snake. And then the devotees that were with Bhaktisiddhanta, he told them, don't hit the snake. Don't strike the snake. Look, Gopal, Ananda Deva has come. You know, and the snake came up toward the deity, and Bhaktisiddhanta showed Gopal to the snake, you know, and then the snake went on his way, you know, like that. Ananda Deva has come. He said like that. Achintya Kalaye Baba, Natam Starke Niyojaya. You know, how did he know that there was going to be a snake at that particular place? You know, he stopped the boat there and he told, Gopal, Gopal, it's Ananda. Anyway, so if one worships Lord Shiva with great devotion, then what do you have to fear of snakes? That's the thing. So like in Vrindavan, near our Goshala, there was one Baba. Whenever there was a snake in the Krishna Balaram Goshala, they ran out to this, Nanda, or other devotees, they would run out and find this Baba. He was there on the Parikrama Marga, and he was very expert. He knew how to chant particular mantras, and he would charm the snake, grab the snake, and he would take it with him. You know, he would take him with him somewhere, you know, the snake, and like that. We don't care as long as we get rid of the guy. This way. So such things are there. And they generally, in order to charm the snake, the mantras that they do are invoking Lord Shiva. That's the idea. The mantras that they use to charm the snakes are generally invoking Lord Shiva. They're passed down from father to son and from one Baba to another Baba, and like that, that's how it goes. You know, parampara-wise. And this way is done. Now, so Lord Shiva is everywhere. And he told Nanda Jasoda, Yasoda Maya, after Krishna was laughing and laughing and laughing, then Mother Jasoda said, well, Nanda Baba, Yogi Baba, please stay here. And Taptak Maranala, Rodhye Ako Darshan Kijiye. You know, when my child will cry, then you please give your darshan. And Shiva said, I will stay here, yes, but every day you please take his bath water and you pour it on me. You know, like this. So this is the tradition. You know, they take Krishna's charanamrit and they pour it on Lord Shiva. And after the bhoga is offered to Krishna and Dauji there in Nandishwar, then they go to bring the bhoga prasadam remnants to Nandishwar, Mahadev, and they offer it to him. Indeed, that's also kind of the tradition in Jagannath Puri also. That after Jagannath has offered so many nice bhoga, then they give it to all the demigods around the temples, around the mandir. And then it goes to the public for selling and like that. But no one should think that because the demigods have tasted some of it, Jagannath's maha, that it become jhuta or something like that. No, the naivedya, the prasadam remnants of Jagannath, can never become contaminated in any circumstances. It always depends on the quality of faith and absorption in the mind of the devotee. It cannot be necessarily imitated by one, but according to one's firm, intense shraddha, it is possible. Just like I'll give you one example of that intense shraddha. Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he did not like to take much medicines, Western medicines and things like that. Whenever he got sick, he used to fast, or he used to take charanamrita. He used to take charanamrita. He thought that the Lord's charanamrita from his lotus feet was the perfect medicine. And that was his shraddha. That was his nishtha. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada's sister, Bhava Tarini, Pishima, she had the same shraddha from her Guru Maharaj when there was a cholera epidemic in Calcutta at the time. Her child, Madana, came down with cholera. And many people in Calcutta were dying from cholera epidemic. But she thought, nothing doing. My Guru Maharaj takes shelter of charanamrita of Krishna, so I will do the same. So she did that. She had so much faith in charanamrita, she gave that to her child, and the child became free. And therefore the Gaudiya devotees were very much appreciative of her love. They called her Madanira Ma, you know, because her son was Madan. And that's all. They knew her as the mother of Madana. That was one thing. But they specifically said that because of her faith was so strong that she cured her child of cholera by Charanamrita. It is powerful. They also have another story of that in Radharamangira, when one of the Goswami children there came down with some disease, and no matter what medicine they gave him, it didn't come out. Then the Lord, Radharamandev, appeared in the mind of that child and said, "Fool! Why are you trying to do some other means other than my feet?" I said, "You just take my Charanamrita and you give up any other. You give up any other means." And so when the boy heard that, he told his parents, and they took that advice. They stopped any other Ayurvedic medicine or whatever, any other upai, any other means of deliverance, and they just gave him Charanamrita, and he became cured. Then, out of regard for Radharamandev's mercy, the boy would sing cowherd boy tunes at nighttime when Radharamandev was being dressed for his nighttime napping. And the boy would play cowherd boy tunes on him to try to entertain Radharaman out of gratefulness. So these things are there, that Krishna protects his devotees. And Krishna loves his devotees. So Lord Shiva is very famous. Now, it is wonderful that Nanda Maharaj wanted to go on a yatra, to go somewhere, to go see the Shiva. Now the thing is this, it's interesting, that Jiva Goswami says that there must be many Ambikavanas. This one famous Ambikavana must be in Gujarat, okay, near Sidhpur. That Acharya statement is also true, it is a fact. But Vishwanath says that there's another Ambikavana lying on the bank of the Saraswati River, northeast of Mathura. So that's interesting, because the idea of Krishna always was that, why do we got to leave Braj? We don't have to leave Braj. Everything is there in Braj. Everything is here in Vrindavan. We don't need to go anywhere. So the famous story is there when Nanda Baba wanted to go to Prayag to take bath in Ganga and Jamuna confluence. And so Krishna asked his father, why is mother cooking all these, you know, hard preparations and this and that, you know? And he's very curious. And he goes, you know, Krishna asked her, why are you cooking all these hard preparations, you know, mother? Baba wants to go on a trip. Where's Baba going? Go and ask him. So Krishna went to his father, Baba, 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 where are you going? And he said, I want to go to Prayag. But then Krishna said, but Baba, this is not a good day to go on a trip. Tomorrow is Akshaya Tritiya. That's a better day to go on a trip. Mm-hmm. It's auspicious. If you start a journey on Akshaya Tritiya, then whatever you do on Akshaya Tritiya, then it will be successful, 100% successful. Alright, that makes sense, Nanda Maharaj said. That's a good advice. Yeah, alright, I'll start my journey tomorrow, not today. So, that next morning, then he went down to his kund, Nanda Sarovara, there. And he saw one person who was laughing and laughing and laughing and rolling on the ground. And he would laugh, he would dip into the water, and he would come out and woo, 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 he would laugh and throw dust all over his body, and laugh, and laugh. I never saw him before in our village. Who is he? And then the Maharaj approached him and said, who are you? You look like a very respectable personality and you're just laughing uncontrollably and rolling on the dust here, touching the water and then rolling in the dust. He goes, I am Prayagraj. Huh? Acha? Nanda Maharaj said, really? And what brings you here? And he goes, Are Baba! He said, everybody, you know, they come and they take shelter of my holy place and they dump all their sinful activities on me. And I come here one day in a year, on this day, Akshaya Tritiya, to become pavana, to become purified of all that. I touch the waters of this sarovara and I become, and this holy dust, and I become purified. And the Maharaj looked at him with astonishment. Acha? Really? So he was impressed. Then on the other side of the bank of the sarovar, he saw beautiful shining devis with exquisite saris and exquisite, you know, ornaments and shining effulgences. And I never saw those ladies in our village before. Mm-hmm. Who are they? So he was so curious, he just walked on over there. It's a ladies' bank. It's their side to bathe, you know. It's like that. So he must have been so pushed by curiosity that he went over there. So who are you? Who are you, all you ladies? Who are you? I am the Saraswati. I am the Jamuna. I am the Tamraparni. I am the Reva. I am the, you know, I am the Tamraparni, Godavari. I am the Krishna. I am the, you know, all those famous rivers of Braj. Acha, what brings you here? Hare Baba! They said, everybody comes and they take shelter of our water and they dump all their sins on our head. And once a year, we come here on Akshaya Tritiya and we touch the water here and we become pavana. We become free from all our sinful burden here in this land. Acha. And the Maharaj said, really? So then he wandered back over to the other side. He took his bath and he's climbing up the hill to go back to his house. And 6 o'clock in the morning, Nandalal woke up or so, 6:30, Nandalal woke up. Baba, oh Baba, 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 today you're going. Yes, Baba, you're going today. You're going on your yatra. Yes, Baba, you're going today. Yes, Baba. No, I'm not going. Why not? Why not, Baba? Why not? Ani, everybody's coming here. All the holy places and the sacred rivers are coming here. Then why should I go there? He goes there. Dinabandhu tells me that this place is very wonderful. You know, Akshaya Tritiya. Akshaya Tritiya is very famous. It's also the time when the, up in the Tehri Garhwal, up in the Uttaranchal, when they open up the temples of Kedarnath and Badrinath. That's when the snow has receded sufficiently and the Lord is available for the public to go up there, albeit it's very cold. See, Akshaya Tritiya happens like April 21st, something like that, around that area. And it is, it's called Akshaya. Akshaya means imperishable. On that tithi, anything they do will be successful. It will be imperishable. People get married on that day. People start a business on that day. But originally, people open temples on that day. They worship Krishna on that day. That's what they do. So because this pastime happened in Nanda Sarovara, generally our Dinabandhu Baba and other devoted devotees of Vrindavan, they want to go there. But if you want to go there, you've got to book your taxi in advance, like a month or so in advance, because every single vehicle will be taken up by marriage parties and this and that. And then they want to go and ask if Yashodehi, Dandehi, Putradehi, Varyadehi, you know, whatever, you know, all my material desires, please give me that. Nanda, Nandeshwar Mahadev, you know, like that. They'll ask for all these things. They want those things to be shashwat, perpetual. But a Vaishnava only wants Krishna's pleasure to be perpetual. That's all. If Krishna is happy, yasmin tushti jagat tushtam. If Krishna is happy, everyone's happy. Yet still, it's interesting because, see, Nanda Maharaj and the Brajavasis, they just consider Krishna's our kawala. That's all. He's our son. I don't know anything else. Mother Yasoda said, he's our son. That's all. In our old age, we've achieved him out of our amazing punya. It is not ordinary that an old man and an old lady will have a son. If they have a child, you know, when they're pushing 50 years old, when they have a child, it is generally a female. It is the nature of things. You see? The nature of things. So it's quite astonishing that they had a son in their old age and the fag end of their life. You know, it's like quite astounding. At least Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Mai think like that. And so they love Nandalal so much because it's such a rarity to have a son in old age. So it's like that. So in this way, they think like any other dharmic villager would. They would go traveling in some yatras to different places they wanted to go. But Krishna's mood always was, Hare Ma, Hare Baba, you don't need to go anywhere out of Braj. Everything is here in Braj. So in this way, I really like in the bottom of this purport where it says, quotes authorities who says, Ambikavana is on the bank of Saraswati River northwest of Mathura. Ambikavana is notable within it are deities of Lord Shiva and Uma. Now, they are always there, and they went there to see them. And because they give great happiness, there's also another wonderful pastime of because Radhastami is there. I have to tell this story. On the banks of, on the eye of Govardhan Hill, there is a place. It is near Sankarshanananda Sarovara. It's off in the forest there. It's called this van dedicated to Parvati. Gauri Tirtha is the name of the Tirtha. Gauri Tirtha. Tachta Gauri Tirtham na Gauri Pachariti Tattu, which is scrupulous. Vishwana Chakravarti Pad mentions in Vrajariti Chintamani in the third chapter glorifying Govardhan Hill. It is really a pilgrim's guidebook to Govardhan Hill, these verses of this third chapter. It's ecstatic. This tirtha, tachtra gauri tirtham na gauri patireti tattu, is gauri tirtha which is scrupulously avoided by the husband of Gauri, Lord Shiva. Why would he avoid it? But the idea of it is that it just makes you curious to see the spot. That's the only thing that came to my mind. Really? It's different? It's something exclusively for her? And her husband doesn't go there? What's there? You want to go there. Hope you don't turn into a lady when you go there, because some forests that are dedicated to her are like that. You know. At any case, but so as the story went, that Jatila and Mukhara were very much concerned that our Vrishabhanu Nandini, the beloved wife of our son, Abhimanyu, is always being chased by this black snake. This black snake, Krishna. And for her benefit and for her chastity and for her pativrata, for the purpose of her chastity to her pati, her husband. Therefore, we should take her out of this place. We have to remove her from this place. So they went there. They thought, we will first approach Gauri and seek her blessings for the success of the yatra to Mathura. We will take Vrishabhanu Nandini to Mathura. So they made that sankalpa, that idea. So Jatila went with Radharani to this place. Now, Vrindadevi caught wind of this because nothing happens in Vraja without Vrindadevi knowing about it. So she told Krishna that this is their plan, this is their scheme. They want to take Radharani out of Vraja and move her to Mathura. Then Govinda told Vrindadevi that you give me some cloth, and you white cloth that looks exactly like the Gauri deity, and you please meet me at Gauri Tirtha. And Vrindadevi said, your order has already been done, the cloth is already there. Because Vrindadevi is in charge of everything, what flowers will bloom, what birds will chirp, what bees will be there, you know, the darkness, the colors of the kunja and everything. Every arrangement in Vraj she does. She does everything. And she has her parrot Daksha, and Daksha has got all disciples of all different colors. Parrots of all different colors are his disciples. Her parrot's disciples. And they all travel throughout Vrindavan spreading messages, Vrindadevi's messages. Whatever has to be done for Radha and Krishna's seva, then the parrots will do it. The Daksha's disciples will do it. this is the program. So Krishna goes there and takes this cloth and disguises himself as the Gauri deity. And he stands just in front of the Gauri deity covering her form. In the meantime, Jatila and Radharani walk in and they offer obeisances O Goddess Devi, please be merciful to us. And then Lalita Devi says, look, Radha, by your devotion, the deity has become more manifest today. You know, by your devotion. Then, Radharani prays, oh Devi, please be merciful. Then Devi starts to speak to Jatila. I know what is in your mind. I know what is in your heart. But the desire, the cherished desire of your heart is not possible. Gauri Devi says. Then Jatila speaks, oh Devi, our beloved daughter here is always tormented by people seeking her company. And we just wish to protect her. We would like to take her to Mathura. On 3 days from today, the soldiers of King Kamsa in Mathura will snatch Abhimanyu and will wish to cut off his head and offer it to Bhairava. To Lord Shiva. Really? Oh, Jatila became very scared. Oh, Radha, you have to pray to Devi. This must not happen. Abhimanyu must not be killed. Huh? And Radharani said, oh Goddess, oh Devi, please be merciful. I cannot live without my Swami. Mm-hmm. Which means Krishna. Like this. Well, Gauri Devi said, generally I am not moved. When something is destined, it is not possible to change it. But however, the prayers of Radharani is very moving and very touching. Well, you have to promise that you will not take Vrishabhanu Nandini out of Mathura. If you promise like that, then I can bless Abhimanyu that he will not get his head cut off. Then Jatila said, yes, 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 anything, yes. You know, as long as Abhimanyu doesn't get his head cut off, yes, my son's head should not get cut off. Yes, sure. Radha, we'll go and we'll cancel the plans to take you to Mathura. And they offered obeisances. Then Gauri Devi said to Jatila, just see this beautiful flower of a girl, you know, with all of her wonderful qualities. How could you even think? How could you even think that her devotion is so less? How could you even think that her qualities are... How can you cast aspersions on the character of this girl? Her power is so great that she has moved me and convinced me to save Abhimanyu. Her quality is so great. Her chastity is so good. Her purity is so shining. Her quality of her worship is so great. Then Gauri Devi said, yes, yes, Jatila said. I should not doubt Radha. Yes, we'll go and cancel the plans to take Radha to Mathura. Oh, let me left down here. So then right after that, then Purnamasi Devi came forward and laughed with Vrinda Devi, laughed that, today we've been put into great happiness. And Krishna tells Purnamasi, well, Ma, you know, whatever is your blessings, you know, whatever is your blessings here. Yes, Shamsundar, may you remain in Vrindavan and always perform pastimes with Srimati Radharani. And Krishna, as Gauri, said, Tathastu! And he said, and whoever hears this pastime of you taking this form of Gauri should develop love for you. And Krishna said, Tathastu. So it's like that. So this is the wonderful pastime that happened in this holy spot. Now, in the temple of Gauri Devi is no longer able to be seen by the naked eye. There is a kund there, which during rainy season, other season becomes more prakatas, Gauri kund, right there next to it. And one, you'd see it is something there. You can't put your put a little water on your head and offer obeisances. It's a kind of interesting little spot. It's about out into the forest, you know, just a little bit away from Sankarsanananda Sarovara. It's just into the forest, and some of the locals will point it out to you. Oh, it's about 10 minutes walk into the fields to the left of the Parikrama Marga. There around Sankarsanananda Sarovara is this place, Kodi Tirtha. So, because the topic is on Shiva, and now Lord Munjateshwar, Gopeshwar, they're all glorified because they are Vigna Vinashak. They destroy obstacles in the path of Krishna's devotees. So, and in Kali Yuga, you know, anywhere we can get mercy, we should grab it, because we're definitely in trouble in many ways. And the mind is always so chanchal. The mind is always so disturbed and is always so difficult. So generally devotees, they go there, and if they go and offer obeisances to him and offer some donation to him, some charanamrita to him, some artful prayer to him, they do so with the idea of pleasing him and soliciting a benediction. And they generally, they say, they pray to him that you are very, very sober. Your worship of Krishna and absorption of Krishna is very sober, and our worship is so unsober. You kindly bless us that today our mind will be focused on Lord Krishna in a better way, you know, like that. Or we have some plans to serve Krishna in a particular way. May those plans be successful. And in this way, if a devotee approaches the Lord, Gopeshwar, Kundeshwar, Mahadev, like that, all these things with such prayer, and offers him charanamrit from the Lord and some deepam like that. Generally what I would do, I would offer a deepam to Jamunaji. I would offer a deepam to Jamunaji. Then after offering it to her, then I would go and offer it to him. And then I would, after offering, first I would offer it to the Govardhan Shila there, which is Balarama there on the right at Keshigat. There's a Balarama Shila there. Nice, crystal, white, sweet, friendly. You offer the deepa to him. Then give the Mahaprasad to Jamunaji, the deity of Jamuna. Then I would turn around and go behind and give the deepam to Munjateshwar. And then afterwards, after offering it to Munjateshwar, then I would put it on a dona or some kind of like a leaf cup, and then put it in Jamuna and let her waves take it away. It's so charming. It's nice. And many Vrajavasi devotees, they do that. They come and they worship him. But we should have no material desire in our heart except for bhajan, for loving Krishna. And when you read, and what should we offer him? We should offer his poetry. That's the best. There's Gopeshwar Astakam, written by Vishnu Sakaram Narayan Mishra, who's one of the Radharaman Gera Goswamis in the 17th century or 18th century, he wrote that. And that's been translated by Matsyavatara Prabhu very, very nicely. Beautiful. And there's many. Srivastakam by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's also nice to offer. And also you can offer Lord Shiva's own poetry, the most famous stutis of Vrindavan. Krishna Kripa Kataksha Stava and Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava Raj. They were written by Lord Shiva himself in Urvam Nyaya Tantra. And the poetry is really, really good. And because it's the most famous stutis of Vrindavan, when you, naturally, if you offer something that the author has written and you offer it back like a flower to the author, then naturally the author is pleased that you've learned his prayers that he wrote. It goes without saying, right? Authors are generally pleased when their works are appreciated by the public. So it is written by Lord Shiva, and even though it glorifies Krishna and it glorifies Radha, it definitely, because it is written by Lord Shiva, it is definitely pleasing to him. So it can be offered to him. And indeed, his pleasure can be invoked by his own prayers glorifying Radha and Krishna. So natural. So it is wonderful here. Now, whether Nanda Maharaj went outside of Mathura, which is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is promulgating, or whether the Ambikavana that they went to happened to be in Gujarat. Now it's a little difficult here because it said the departure was on Shivaratri. the departure to go to Ambikavan was on Shivaratri. So it either meant that those bullocks were really powerful and they really pulled really well, you know, because even today, if you go by train from Mathura, if you leave in the evening, the train leaves in the evening, you're not going to reach Gujarat before morning, really. You're not going to reach Gujarat by morning. Or if you're returning from, it's the same story. If you hit the very border of Gujarat in the evening, then you're not going to reach Mathura until the morning. So it's a night trip by train. And that means it's pushing on 80, 90 kilometers an hour. How does it work? Then Achintya, they say like this, that when Krishna and Balaram and the Brajavasis want to go traveling, then the whole lotus flower of Vrindavan closes up for the night. Like a flower, a lotus flower closes in the sun. When the sun's rays go down, the lotus flower closes like that. So the petals of Vrindavan become closer. The distance between one petal and another petal become closer, and they can go from one place to another very quickly. And then in the daytime it opens up and there's room for all the cows to go everywhere and eat grass. That's why they say the lotus flower opening and closing. Closing means it's very easy for traveling purposes. And opening means there's plenty of room for everybody, you know. So if we consider Ambikavan to be somewhere in the Mathura Mandal area, and if Nanda Baba has left on Shivaratri day to go there, then it must be like that. It must be like that. That it must have been very early in the morning when the lotus flower was still closed, so that the distances are closer. Otherwise, how could he move? You know, the bullocks are the bullocks. It said they were tied to bullocks. Are bullocks going to move so fast? You know? You know, even if they're really healthy bullocks and they really move well, you know, but still it's, you know, it takes some time, you know. Hare Krishna. May Nanda Maharaj's plans always be happy. Any questions here? Yes, sir.
Anadut.
This one here? Anadut. It says, Anadut, Anadut. Anadut. This is D, D-U-T. This Anadut. They was hooked up to the oxen, it says. Yuktai, yoked.
What's the meaning of Anadut?
This word here in the per part, it says to oxen. Well, Anobi, Anudut, Yuktai. Well, they take all three together. Anobi is wagons. That which they are hooked to, Anudut, that which follows that, what follows the wagon, Yuktai, favorable. What is favorable to the wagon? Yuktai is favorable. Proper. Yukta means proper. Yukta means cultured. Yukta means usual. Yukta means spiritual. Yukta means, these are all yukta, proper. What is proper for the wagon? The bullock? No, this is what they're getting. Which follows the wagon. What follows the wagon or attached to the wagon, which is favorable for the wagon, it's the bullock. Because they're trained from their baby age. Just like, one friend of mine, Anjanak Mahajan, he got married to Balabhadra's daughter this year. Sannyasis are not supposed to go to weddings, at least the sannyasis that are my buddies, you know, my close buddies. They don't do it. They don't go to weddings. We're supposed to bless the wedding the day before the wedding, or we bless it after the wedding, but we're not supposed to go to the wedding, really. This is the nature, you know, because Vairagis are supposed to be Vairagis, right? We're supposed to be pushing that line. And we're supposed to be friends with everybody that has love for Krishna, because love for Krishna is the real Vairagya, really. Love for Krishna means detachment. But technically, the ritualistic ceremony, we're not supposed to be there. But I broke that when it came to this one. First, I was when I heard about it that he was going to get married. And I said, would you do a stupid thing like that? You know? And then he goes, oh, you really know how to, you know, encourage somebody. Then I asked, then my sannyas guru was in New Vrindavan at the time. Then my sannyas guru, Naranjan Maharaj, happened to be there, and I said, man, Janak Maharajan, they say he's getting married. Who's he getting married to? He's getting married to Balabhadra's daughter. And we're, Balabhadra's daughter? Balabhadra's daughter? That girl is really a gopi. That girl loves cows like her life breath. You know? How can I not wish that? You know, I could not trust very many American ladies. I'd have to say that. God knows if they could be chaste. God knows if they could be faithful. God knows if they could... Only God knows. And I don't know. So if I don't know, then I'd rather not trust it. That was my policy from the age of 16. Seeing all my brothers, you know, playing games with them, you know, and throwing them away every 6 months, you know, and like that. I thought, Hare Baba, can't trust them. Once burnt, twice shy. I couldn't trust it. At the age of 16, I was always skeptical. But when I heard she's getting married to Janak, this may really work. This may actually work. It may be successful by the grace of the cows. It may be successful. Whoa, I've got to go. So then I went there. And I just, what did I do? I did nothing. Veer Krishna Maharaj is the one who was pushing this thing for 5 years. I tell you, you really should be a householder. And finally listen. So Veer Krishna Maharaj came there and he did the whole thing, gave the whole spiel and do you have anything to say? I said, all I got to say is what Kormarupa sent me. Send me all these cow shlokas. This is exactly what I plan to say. Okay? You know? Where are the cows? Where are the cows? They're the ones should be here, you know, blessing her, you know, they're the ones should be here. But they were afraid. They didn't bring it. And they don't want to tie the cows. The cows are running free. They didn't want to tie the cow next to a tree or something like that. That was their mood. But where are the cows? The cows should be the ones, at least on the horizon. They should be blessing her, this thing, you know. Any case, so then it was really funny. I got these funny photos that just before the bride and the groom were going to go around the fire, and Balabhadra comes up with this halter, with this yoke. And it's a yoke, you know, that they yoke two bulls together with, right? And he puts it around their necks. He puts it around Vamjanak and his daughter's neck. And he goes, dip, 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 you know, and he pushed it a little tight, you know. And they're walking around the fire. And I took photos of it and I thought, this is hilarious. Look at this. You know, that her father did that to her, you know. They put this yoke around her. And I said, Ma, has this been used? Oh, yes. Vrajanhita used this when they were young. You know, his daughter retorted, you know. You know, like this. And it's amazing that baby bulls, Balabhadra was so attached to training bulls, you know, to work on the farm, that from their very young age, you know, like the bulls were extremely young, he yoked these two bulls, Vraja and Gita, together so that they got used to each other. You know? Oh yes, Lakshmi said. Vraja and Gita were using this halter. And I just did nothing but read all these shlokas from the cows, you know, like that. Arewa, what amazing thing, you know.
Was the anadut, the meaning of the word.
The meaning of the word?
What's
the meaning of the word? The meaning of... Ana means proper. Anadut. I'm not a pundit. Some words are really obvious to me because I've memorized them before. And when you memorize them before, then you see different sequences of them. But this one...
Dud means milk, doesn't it?
No, that's dude. Dugdha. In Sanskrit, that's dugdha. That's a different word. Duta could be messenger.
Or carrier.
Right. So anadut probably is carrier. Because it's the first word was anobi. Anobi was the wagons. And yuktai, favorable. The carrier favorable for the wagons. Oxen, you know. Could be the carrier favorable. We can look it up. What's nice about folio is you look it up, or Mooney or Williams Dictionary, you just look it up. You know, so we can have fun with it. I'm sure we can have fun with the word. Yes, sir.
Shambhu is an expansion of Shankarshan, or he's... an entity, a living entity, who is empowered with the potency of Shankar Sangha? What's his?
He is Lord Vishnu, associating with the material energy, Brahma Samhita says.
He's an expansion of Shankar Sangha.
Yeah, the energy goes through Sankarsana, obviously. But he emanates from the glance of Mahavishnu. That glance of Mahavishnu is Sakshat. It's him. But for the purpose of associating with the material energy. Now, Brahma Samhita says that the Supreme Lord doesn't associate with material energy. He associates with Ramadevi. Huh? But he associates with the material energy by his glance. That glance is Shambhu. Tat lingam bhagavan shambhu jyoti rupa sanatana sayoni saparashakti kamobijam mahadare is the shloka from Brahma Samhita. That's the shloka from Brahma Samhita. Is there the seed of desire of the living entities to propagate, to have children or something, that seed emanates from Shiva and Parvati according to Brahma Samhita. And their material constituents are the material bodies. Lingayon yatnika jata ima maheshwari praja. The seed situations of all the male and female bodies, the constituencies, the elements, are manifested as the combination of Shiva and Parvati. It's interesting. It's interesting further, but I won't say anything further. But it's interesting further. You can ask, if the seed elements of the material bodies are emanating from Shiva and Parvati, well, then they also have keys to the health of the living entity also by their grace. Interesting. Shiva and Parvati, the health of the living entity is also borne out by Shiva and Parvati also. Anyway, but there's so many chikitsas. It's not surprising that so many chikitsas, Ayurvedic chikitsas and other chikitsas, invoke Shiva and Parvati because the material body. If something is going to cure the material body, then many times the chikitsas, the medicine, invokes Shiva and Parvati for mercy for it. For the material world, you invoke them. Now, of course, devotees always take shelter of Krishna, but devotees take shelter of Vaishnavas also. The idea of us, anything that we do in relation to Shiva and Parvati is because they're Vaishnava and Vaishnavi. Indeed, in Vrindavan, they worship her as Vaishnavi Devi, the servant of a Vaishnava. And when you have that bhava, then you get that mercy, that reciprocation from them. Yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam. Simple. So if you approach them as Vaishnava Vaishnavi, then they will relate with you as Vaishnava Vaishnavi. They will not relate with you as the material energy. The Praman is Markandeya. Markandeya owed his whole existence to the mercy of Shiva. When he was young, he was raised. You know that story? I'm like, all right, we'll say it. What happened was, this is one sage and his wife, I forgot his name, Kandamuni? I don't know, whatever it is. His sage and his wife wanted a child. They worshipped, they did tapasya and they worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva became pleased with their tapasya and appeared before them. And he said, you have two choices. I will give you a child who is a fool, but has a very long duration of life. And there is another child who will be a first-class Brahmin, but he may have a very short duration of life. What do you want? The sage discussed it with his wife. What do you want? They were Brahmani, they're very smart, right? Otherwise, how would they have been matched by their parents, right? She must have been a very good match for her husband, obviously. You know, the wife of the sage. They conversed together and they came to the conclusion. Oh Shiva, please be merciful and grant us the child of whom we will be proud. They didn't say, you know, long duration of life, short duration of a life. We want a child we would be proud of. Shiva said, Tatastu! And he left. Right? So it was open-ended. They don't know what's it going to be. The child appeared. He was very nice. Nice mentality. Good boy. And studied the Vedas well. scholarly and this and that. So his parents were proud of him, but they were a little scared. They thought he may leave his body on his 16th birth. The Jyotish, the astrologer said, this boy, this well-gifted boy, may leave his body when he turns 16. So when he turned 15 years old, he's a Vaishnava worshipping Lord Vishnu under the direction of his parents, the sages. These asked his parents, please give me permission to worship Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava in relation to Lord Krishna. Sure, whatever you want, my boy. So he started, along with worshipping Vishnu, he was worshipping Shambhu as Vaishnava. At the time of his 16th birth appeared, then he saw in the distance that Yamaraj himself was coming. Now generally, this must be pretty important. If Yamaraj personally comes, generally his Yamadutas or whatever. But he was a very pious boy, very righteous boy. So evidently, Yamaraj had to do the deal himself, right? So he saw Yamaraj coming in the distance to take him. So he became astonished, and he embraced the Shiva Lingam. He embraced the Shiva Lingam very hardly. And Lord Shiva became manifested from the Shiva Lingam by the embrace of Markandeya. And he had his trishul in his hand, and he went, "Dah!" You know, and he hit Yamaraj on the head and killed him. With the head of his trishul and killed him. Then all the demigods and other, and the Shiva Gunners, obviously must have been the Shiva Gunners, you know, Nandishwar and Veerabhadra and everybody going, "Ooh, our master, our lord is killed by Yama. This is no fun." You know, and so Indra and everybody said, look, you know, Yamaraj, they said to Shiva, they said, "Shiva, we do require a death department, you know." Indra and everybody else said, "We do require a death department, you know, it's not fair that Yama should be killed like this." All right, Shiva said. So Shiva brought him back to life. Naturally, when Yamaraj got his prana back, he didn't do anything to Markandeya. In turn, Shiva turned to the boy and said, "My dear boy, your love is so much, your worship is so nice, your worship of Vishnu, your faithfulness to your parents is so exemplary. I bless you with a long duration of life, So the boy was continuing his worship of Vishnu and Shiva, very nice. And it comes out, in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, chapter 10. Then he's performing austerities in his ashram there, and Bhavani, Lord Shiva's wife, is going with her husband and across the Akash, and she goes, "Look at this celebrated sage. This sage is self-realized, he's made so much advancement. You should bless him," she says to her husband. He said, he is Atmarama. He is a self-realized, self-satisfied sage. He is absorbing his mind in Vishnu, in the heart, and because he's absorbed in Vishnu in his heart, he has no material desire and has no wants. He's completely self-satisfied. He doesn't require anything from us. However, we should take his association, because association of saintly persons is always desired. So saying such, Shiva and Parvati manifest in front of him in his ashram. Markandeya is doing dhyanam, manasik puja, and he's so absorbed in his manasik bhajan, he didn't know anyone had come into his ashram. There was no locks in those days. Anybody could have come and gone, right? There was no security worries. There's no security worries. So he had no idea. Lord Shiva, who is Sarvagay, he knows everything because he's always meditating on Sankarshan. He knows. It takes one to know what is going on, So him and Parvati enter into the sky of Markandeya's heart. It's described in the Bhagavatam. So while he's meditating on Vishnu, all of a sudden in his meditation, Shiva and Parvati manifest there. Whoa, it's a surprising change of view, So he became shocked. Oh, how is this that they became manifested in the sky of my mind and my heart? And he opened his eyes, and there they were externally manifested right in front of him. So he offered his shashtanga pranama to them with eight limbs and offered prayers. And the first thing he said was, "Oh my dear Shiva, if you have come to my ashram, because you have become pleased with my worship. And if you therefore wish to try to bless me by your presence, could I beg something? Please give me unswerving devotion to the Supreme Personality of God and His devotees headed by you. So it's an interesting verse. You should not keep a pratak bhava when it comes to Lord Shiva. We should never keep a pratak bhava. Markandeya shows us this. Please give me undeviating devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God and His devotees headed by you. And Shiva said, tatastu, and he left. And as he was walking out of the ashram, he was talking to his wife, more and more qualities of the sage. You know, describing the sweetness and wonderful lakshana of the sage. Further, he blessed him, long duration of life, for power of the senses, full understanding of the Vedas will become manifested to your heart, and you'll be able to teach wonderfully. And you know, and these are what sadhus want. We don't want any other benediction. We just want to preach, you know. We just want to preach and be pure, you know, like that. And these are what Shiva gave him. He gave him exactly what he needed. Like when Krishna gave the florist to Mathura. I was remarking that, you know, that Krishna and Balaram went there and they said, oh, you know, what are you? You're a mala, wala, you know, you make garlands, you know. That's what we want. We came here. We want some nice garlands from you. They just indicated with their eyes and their gestures that they really wanted some first-class garlands. So the Malawala gave really first-class garlands to them. And as soon as he put those nice garlands on their neck, then Krishna and Balaram became pleased. Full power, we'll give you a long duration of life, full fulfillment of all your desires, full power of the senses, full quickness of mind, and at the end, and you will... you will always remain with your devotion to us, and at the end you'll go back to our abode. And I thought, wow, just for giving garlands. You know, just for giving garlands. You know, so the devotees that make garlands for the deities and like that, you know, male or females, you know, just they're decorating their deities every day here, you know. And we just take it for granted, you know. But actually it's not a joke. When you offer a garland to the Supreme Lord with love and affection, we can inconceivably, beyond our calculation, get the same benediction that the Krishna and Balaram gave to the Mathura Walas. The only criteria is, you may say, well, maybe our devotion is not as great as theirs, and therefore Krishna reciprocated so wonderfully. But potentially it's there. Potentially you can get that same blessing. It just means that with every garland you make, you try to offer with more and more love, you know, and more and more and more and more love, so that the deities will be pleased to bestow that same benediction. You see? But it's the story in Bhagavatam is there to illustrate that these devotees, they're interested in the love and the purity and the devotion and sincerity of purpose. That's all. When Krishna sees the sincerity of purpose, then the benediction is surely obtainable. Nothing can be unobtainable. So let us strive for that. Amazing. I thought, wow, just for giving garlands to the neck of Krishna and Balaram, what they got. And we do it every day, like it's like, ho-hum, just give them the garland. You know, it's like, you know, not an ordinary thing. Nothing is ordinary by the grace of our spiritual masters and parampara. It's extraordinary. So when you see Shiva, Parvati, everything like that, give them all due regards. What's good for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? What's good for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is good for us. That's the idea. In Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, there is a debate between Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit, he says, our Prabhu has taken the Mahaprasad of Mahadeva. How are we supposed to understand his example? Then Damodar Pandit quoted from Bhagavatam 4th canto, when there was a fight between argument, cursing and counter-cursing between Virabhadra, Lord Shiva's Gana, and Bhrigamuni in the Daksha Yajna. And he said, anyone who takes the Mahaprasadam of this fellow will become devoid of transcendental knowledge, and he'll be covered over by the illusion, illusory energy. He'll not be able to make advancement of transcendence. So, Damodar Pandit asked Murari Gupta, in the light of this shloka of Bhagavatam, how are we supposed to understand our Prabhu? Mahaprabhu has taken the Mahaprasada of Mahadeva. How are we supposed to take it? Murari Gupta responded. He said, if one keeps a pratak bhava, a separated mentality, if you consider Lord Shiva to be a rival of our master Lord Vishnu, Krishna, then the curse of Bhriga Muni takes effect. Meaning if you take Lord Shiva's prasadam, considering him to be a rival of Lord Vishnu, then surely such mahaprasad of Lord Shiva will act to make you into a bashandi, an atheist, a person who is devoid of transcendental knowledge, will not understand. However, Murari Gupta said, if you understand that Mahadeva is the topmost Vaishnava and surely will not eat anything which is not first offered to Krishna, and if you're taking Mahaprasadam of a Vaishnava in that bhava, you know, then the curse of Bhriga Muni cannot take effect. And it's in this mood that our Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, has taken the prasad of Mahadeva. And Damodar Pandit was satisfied. And it's there in Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, this dialogue. And it's interesting. It's how we should regard these Mahadeva. And indeed, actually, Ganpati gets energy from worshipping Narasimha, like that. So, my idea is that, hey, look, these are all governmental personalities in the government and the management of the universal management, you know, and they're much bigger than us. It may be a criteria, are they there or are they not there? Whether they installed properly or not there. Maybe they're there, maybe they're not there. But is there any harm to offer a prayer to them that give us Krishna? When Dhruva Maharaj did it, you know, when Kuvera was ready to give Dhruva any blessing he wanted, the shloka is very cool in the fourth canto. Saraja Rajena Varaya Chodito Dhruvo Mahabhagavata Mahamahitmati Harishcha Vibre Achavatam Smatiraya Dharate Yamatama. The verse says, Dhruva, who was a Mahabhagavata who had great intelligence, he said, when he was being pushed, impelled by the man who was the best of the givers of benediction, Kuvera, who was the richest treasurer of the demigod. Prabhupada said in the tape, if he asked, let all the cash of the demigods come to me, he could have got it. But Kuvera understood, although he's a treasurer, he knew that he's not interested in the cash. He wants prema. You know? So Kuvera knew that. So he said, what benediction would you like? May my remembrance of Lord Krishna never leave me, never walk away from me. Because that is the only way, Dhruva said, one can cross the ocean of birth and death. And Kuvera said, tathastu, and left, satisfied. Dhruva is asking that my remembrance of Krishna Katha never leave me. What a benediction. So like, for example, if you approach Shiva, you know, and you could say, my dear Shiva, your prayers that you've written, Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj, and Krishna Kripa Kataksha Stava, and other things are so wonderful. Will they penetrate my heart by your mercy? Will I be able to understand them and love them, you know, like you love them, you know? Will I be able that by your mercy? You know, there is no harm. Asking any demigod for Krishna Prema is not a bad deal. If the Gopi did it to Katyayani, right? If Dhruva did it to Kuvera, right? We can't ask them, maybe you're here, maybe you're not. But if you are here, can you give me Krishna a little more than I'd had him, than I didn't have him yesterday? No harm asking. Hey, you know, isn't it? Hare Krishna. That's all I've got to say. All right? No more questions? Hare Krishna. Take prasad, be happy. Hare Ram.